All right, time to go to Chicago and bring in CSN Bags, Andy Baggerly. Andy, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Marty. Coming at you from the bowels of Wrigley Field. I think I'm in a supply closet right now as I'm trying to find some place to stand out of the way in this cramped little ballpark.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. As I said to the fans before we promoted you in the last half hour, I said, you know, he's a Chicago kind of guy. You don't know if he's on the L, if he's having pizza already. You don't know where he's going to be. So that's a surprise for me.
Well, I normally take the L to the ballpark, but I looked out my hotel window this morning downtown, and I saw horizontal snow, and I thought, you know what? I don't really feel like walking the four blocks to the platform and then the four blocks to the media entrance. So I went ahead and I got soft on you, Marty. I took a taxi today. And then we get down Lakeshore Drive, and boom, it's sunny. So that's Chicago for you right there.
All right, good. Bill that to Ted Griggs. He's got plenty of money at CSN. He'll be glad to pay. Hey, listen.
That's Morton's later tonight. That's why we're going to Morton's later tonight.
All right, very good. Boy, you know, where do you eat in Chicago? Where do you like to go?
Oh, I like to go everywhere. You know, I definitely enjoy going to the Rick Bayless family of restaurants, Frontera Grill. Skip Bayless's brother, as you may know, is probably one of the best Mexican chefs in the country.
I didn't know. They
couldn't be two different people, really. Then I really like going to Herm's Palace, my little spot near Northwestern's campus, where I get my Italian beef sandwich, sweet peppers, hot peppers, and I have to get some Chicago style pizza, whether it's from Pizzeria Due or Uno or Giordano's or Lou Malnati's or Gino's East. I've had them all; they're all great.
All right, this is good because you know I get emails from people. I got an email this week. Where do you go in Milwaukee?
You know. Wow, Milwaukee. You know, I don't know if I have any usual spots to go to in Milwaukee, but I do know that they have a bratwurst cart in the press box and a milkshake machine, so it's not a good idea for me to be on a diet when I go to Milwaukee.
Not like Anaheim, I'll tell you that.
Right, exactly.
Boy, how do you like that story? They've taken the press and put them down the right field line, and the internet didn't work. There's no bathroom for the press. They have to go through the crowd to get to the clubhouse afterwards. How about Artie Moreno on that?
Well, you know what? Artie Moreno comes on board, right, as his Pied Piper, lowering the price of beer on his first day as owner. Everyone loves him. He makes the Angels relevant again. But and maybe nobody cares about how you treat the media because, you know, who's going to listen to us complain? I mean, you know, we got it pretty good. But, you know, yeah, you're right. They've become a very intolerant, very media-unfriendly organization.
Really?
And it's just kind of sad to see what's happened there. There used to be a tremendous organization. And now it just seems the way they run things, they're very, have a defensive posture with everything they do. It's very combative. It's kind of too bad.
Well, because the press, it's free advertising. You know, there's a game today, we're going to write about it. You couldn't hire a PR department better than you guys and me and the press. And I never get that when an owner all of a sudden takes it out on the media.
Well, and we're not PR for the team, obviously. We're going to write things that they don't appreciate.
No, but PR for baseball.
But sure. And, you know, it's not just for the Angels. We're going to go off topic probably, but it's not just a media deal with them. I mean, they've run some pretty good people out of their baseball operations department. You know, Gary Sutherland's guys who've been around the game a long time, scouts that people in the industry have a lot of respect for. And, you know, Mike Socha, I think you could just see it on his face. He's miserable there now.
Yeah.
He's got a long-term deal, but you know, he probably had more juice than any other manager in the game in terms of, you know, making roster decisions, really directing the franchise. And now it's almost like he's powerless. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see if the Angels don't make the playoffs that this will be his last year there.
Yeah, my wild prediction, you know, we do this down in spring training. We have these luncheons during the winter. My wild prediction was that Mike Socha will be managing the Dodgers by the end of the year.
Hey, it could happen. Yeah, seriously. If Mattingly doesn't perform expectations, yeah, you could definitely see that.
All right, let's get back on topic just a little bit. What is the actual weather at the ballpark? Wind in, out? What is it looking like?
Wind's blowing out a little bit. It's cold. It's a little bit colder than it was yesterday. But and what's crazy is tomorrow it's supposed to be 70 degrees. So tomorrow can't get here fast enough. But the Giants are taking BP for the first time all series. You know, it's an early start, even by Wrigley standards, a 12:05 local start. So, you know, a little surprising that they're out there for BP, but you know, that's probably because they haven't been able to take BP a whole lot. Even going back to the last homestand, Marty, as you know, with all the celebrations and and the ceremonies. You know, this is a team that has not taken a lot of batting practice this year, so they're going to be out there swinging it today.
Andy Baggerly with us. Extra Bags is his blog, CSN Bay Area. But, you know, if you're on the Internet, you want to follow him on Twitter, it's CSN Bags with two Gs, and I follow him every single day. I said this earlier in the show today. You know, it's exciting for the fans and everyone, these comeback wins, but comeback wins, you don't want comeback wins, because when you have a comeback win, it means something didn't go right. The Giants have had a number of them right here. The pitching isn't exactly right yet.
Well, yeah, it's never the template you want to follow, right? But it's good to know you have that in your back pocket, that you feel you can come back when you fall behind. And I've always thought that, you know, for a team to win, you know, the 90-plus games that they need to win to get in the playoffs, you got to be able to win a lot of different ways. You got to be able to win, you know, 10-9 sometimes. You got to be able to win 1-0 sometimes. You got to be able to come back. You got to be able to, you know, play with the lead and protect the lead with a really good bullpen. And I think the Giants showed that last year, that they could do that, especially on the road, that they could score with other teams. But you're right. The way that this team is built is you get a really good quality start. You get an inning from Affeldt, an inning from Casilla, an inning from Romo, and then, you know, handshakes all around. So, you know, Romo, I think, has appeared in a lot of games. He's on pace. You know, obviously this pace won't hold, but he's on pace to appear in 103 games right now. So
watch out for Mike Marshall. Right?
Yeah, exactly right. Huh? So I don't think that that's going to happen, quite obviously. But he may be a little bit fatigued, and I'll bet you he may not be available in a safe situation today if the Giants have one. They certainly would like to have one.
Well, we'll see what happens today. Andy, you and I haven't talked, God, since I saw you on Wednesday. And, of course, the whole Carlos Quentin, Greinke, Jerry Hairston, the punishment has been meted out. We know Greinke is hurt. He's out for at least a couple of months. 8 games for Quentin. We may not see him when the Giants play the Padres. It's possible. Kemp, nothing, and Hairston, a game. What's the reaction around baseball where you are? Cubs, Giants, what are they saying about this event that happened this week?
Well, you know, I think that first and foremost, Carlos Quentin's kind of a knucklehead. I mean, to be honest, everybody kind of knows that. He crowds the plate, and he doesn't want to deal with the consequences that come with that sometimes. And, you know, guys get fed up when they get hit a lot, obviously. You know, we saw Ryan Vogelsong criticize Quentin last year for, you know, the guy crowds the plate, he bashes everything over the plate, but he doesn't like to get pitched inside. But, you know, then Vogelsong, there have been times when he's gotten pitched inside and hasn't been too happy about it. So right. I just think it shows that passions run high when you're in there. You can lose your cool. And the interesting thing for me, the debate that I've sort of tossed around a little bit back and forth, listened to both sides, is just what they should have done with the suspension for him. Because, you know, there were people arguing, like Don Mattingly, hey, we're losing our pitcher, you know, essentially $10 million worth of Zach Greinke for 2 months. You know, Quentin should be lost to the Padres for that amount of time. And you think on the face of it, that's a little bit of a silly argument. You know, he can't help the fact that Greinke broke his collarbone. But, you know, one of our anchors, Ahmed Farid, made a really good point on Twitter. He said, well, what if you run a red light? Are the penalties different whether you hit somebody or not? And they absolutely are. You know, it's you take the risk if you hurt somebody that you're going to be out a long time. So I think Carlos Quentin got off real easy with an 8-game suspension.
Well, I'll be the lawyer now. I mean, if you were going to give that sort of penalty to someone, then you sort of have to have a trial. And what did Greinke say? What did Quentin? What's the history? I mean, you couldn't just arbitrarily say, all right, Quentin, you're out for 2.5 months. You know, now you're into a significant penalty, and you'd have to have a hearing, an appeal process, and it would be quite different. I'll be a lawyer. I said I'd want a trial before someone just judged me for charging the mound in that situation. So I think you open up a real big Pandora's box legally if you start blasting players. Look, it's longer than a steroid suspension.
I got a question for you. I was wondering this. I know it's happened in hockey a couple times, but could Greinke sue Quentin?
It's within the game, and I know the hockey things were intentional acts that went beyond what's within the game. I think what happened in this situation, you've seen it going on for 130 or 40 years, where players will charge the mound and pitchers. So the consequences of an act like that are sort of within the game of baseball, and I would think you'd have to have it would have to be more willful. that, you know, you pick up a ball and you throw it at Greinke's head and you fracture his skull or something. You know, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. But down the line, something's going to happen. Somebody's going to be a Curt Flood type of guy and say, you know what, I'm going to sue this person and we'll see what happens with it. But I think that day's going to come. Because basically you charge the mound. You're pretty much assaulting someone, right? Even though it's within the game, you know, assault is not part of the game of baseball. Collisions on the base paths happen, but, I don't know. I was just thinking about it and thinking, gosh, I don't think I know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's one. Next time I run into Joe Garagiola Jr. or Frank Robinson, those are the guys who can answer it. But I that's my take on it. I think you get a sort of a common practice within the game and you accept it. And you'd have to go well beyond that common practice for something like that, you know, to be actionable off the field. But that's a good point. Hey, what about Bumgarner and Samardzija today? This looks like a heck of a pitching matchup.
Oh, man, well, Samardzija, you see what he did last time? 13 Ks and 5 2/3 and, you know, didn't win the game. But, man, strikeout stuff. And the Giants are really going to be challenged to wait him out and be patient and try to drive up his pitch count because it's going to be hard for them to move runners with a guy with that kind of stuff. He's just really, really gotten better and better as he's gone along. And Bumgarner has looked pretty good. You know, he's probably been one of the more consistent guys from the start of spring training on. I don't know if he's very good in cold weather or not. I can't really think off the top of my head. A lot of times he's pitched in cold weather. I know sometimes he's gotten bothered in hot weather, like in Washington. He had a start where he just got gassed after a couple innings. But, you know, he's a guy who's not afraid to buzz the inside and put one on your hands, which doesn't feel good for a hitter on a day like today. So I would expect maybe, even though the wind's blowing out, maybe a low-scoring game today.
All right. Well, it's going to be a good one. Andy, thanks so much for taking the time. It's always a pleasure. And enjoy it today. And what are you wearing, by the way?
I've got my nice winter CSN jacket on, and I've got my my nice car coat-length top coat over that and a scarf. And I've got gloves in each pocket in case I need them.
And a hat? No hat?
No, I'm going hatless.
Yeah, you got the hair.
I've got that full thick head of hair.
I
Marty.
Know. For me, I go outside. I got to be wearing a hat. You know that.
No, me too. I'm right there with you.
All right. What a pleasure to have you on, Andy. Thanks so much. And I can't wait to read your tweets during the game. And, of course, all the things you write about it. You're right on top of it. So I appreciate it.
Thanks, Marty. Be well.
All right. That is Andy Baggerly, CSN Bags. On Twitter, and if you follow baseball, you want to follow him.